Thank you for listening to the Christian Life Podcast. My name is Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number 10, How to Keep a Bible Journal. In the last couple of episodes, we have been talking about the necessity of studying the Bible. We talked about why our theology matters and that it needs to be applicational. It needs to affect our lives. And then in the last episode, we talked about exactly how to do Bible study, and I gave you the REAP method of Bible study: read, examine, apply, and pray. But what I want us to do today is I want us to look at how we can keep a record of our journey through the scriptures over the years. Keeping a Bible journal is encouraged by many leaders around the world, and it's something I have done for years. I started doing this well back, right out of Bible college, maybe even in Bible college, but I perfected it right after Bible college when I joined staff at my first church. And now I can go back through all those years and look at my journal and really see what the Lord has shown me and the different revelation He's given me over the years. As an apostolic leader in the church, one of the things that really bothers me about too many Christians, at least in the parts of the church that I know, is that there seems to be a really low value for reading the Bible and making it a regular priority. Now, as we've already said, there's not a lot of people who would say they don't value the Bible. But in practice, a lot of Christians don't read it. And so that's why we've been discussing this on the podcast for the last couple of episodes. Today, I want to give you another idea that's going to help you grow in the Word as we talk about how to keep a Bible journal, how to record your journey through the Scriptures as you go along. So as we go through this episode, we're going to talk about the different steps of keeping a Bible journal, down to the very practicals of getting a journal and setting time aside. So let's get started. Step one is going to sound very simple, but for a lot of us, we actually overcomplicate it. Step one is getting a journal. Obviously, you need some kind of journal to keep this record that we're talking about. But the question is, what type of person are you? Are you a type of person who's fine with just a plain spiral notebook? That's great. Maybe you're a bit more trendy or a little more professional and you want a nice leather or decorative journal, maybe classics like the Moleskine journal or something along those lines. With modern technology, it's also very possible to keep your journal digitally. I've told you that for my prayer journal, I use the Day One journaling app and it keeps everything synced across my phone, iPod, computer, and everything else. And so you need to decide what journal is going to work for you. Now, I know you're thinking this is a stupid thing to bring up in a podcast. Why would you even talk about that? But I do remember when I first got started journaling, I thought a journal had to be something very special. I couldn't bring myself to just get a spiral notebook or something very simple. My very first Bible journal was a very nice American Eagle. I'm mid-30s, so that tells you my fashion trends back in the day. But going to American Eagle and getting this nice leather-bound journal that had these thick, almost like brown paper bag pages that were cut perfectly square. They didn't have the offset edges. I'm a little too perfectionist for that. And then it had an orange elastic stripe. I still have that journal to this day. But that was my very first journal. And I thought, yeah, if I have something cool, something I invest money in, something nice, something I would be proud to carry, then I'm going to be more apt to use the journal. What I found is I was very proud to carry the journal, but I never actually took the time to write in it. Later in my journaling career, I settled for just a plain black Moleskine with lines. The lines helped me so much more than the just plain brown pages of my first journal. And so you really need to decide what's going to work for you. It shouldn't be a style choice, but it should be a practicality choice. What are you more apt to use? If you're more apt to type out your thoughts than to write, then get a digital journal. If you're going to handwrite, are you a creative, artistic person who would rather have the blank page, or are you someone who's a little more perfectionist and who needs lined pages? You need to take things like that into account, because if if it's not something that fits your personality and your style, then you're not going to follow through for very long. Now, again, this is just getting started. Over the years, you may go through many different types of journals, just as I have, but you need to find the one you're going to use to get started. Step two is getting a Bible reading plan. Now, I know as soon as I say a Bible reading plan, some of you start thinking one of those through the Bible in a year programs. It doesn't need to be so formal. Although, if you're a beginner at Bible study, sometimes simpler is better. Sometimes if you just turn to the back of your Bible that you have right now, there may be a Bible in the year plan, which is perfect for you. There may also be, you know, reading the Gospel of John in a month or reading through the Gospels or the New Testament. A lot of modern Bibles have a Bible reading plan in the back that means you have to do no research. You just have to flip a couple of pages. Now, I do want to stress this. It doesn't matter which plan you use, same as which type of journal you use. The point is you do need a plan. Your plan may be as simple as saying, hey, I'm jumping into the Gospel of John and I'm starting there and I'm doing a chapter a day. That's fine. That is a plan. But you may want something a little more in-depth. You may want something that goes through the entire New Testament or something that does go through the Bible in a year or something that puts the Bible chronologically. There are tons of Bible reading plans online. I'm not going to give you one. Again, you need to decide what that looks like for you. But if you look at like ESV Online or Bible Gateway or just Google search Bible reading plans, you're going to find a lot of them. Even on our website for our ministry, sozoministries.net, we have a 21-day reading plan that can take you through the entire New Testament or through different sections of the New Testament in 21 days. And that's on there for free. You can go grab that. But if you don't have a plan, you're going to end up just flipping through pages of the Bible, reading random passages, and you're usually going to end up getting nowhere. Now, again, the keeping a Bible journal is supposed to help keep you on track. And so here's how this looks for me. If I have a plan that I say I'm going to read through, let's say, the four Gospels, then I finish Matthew and Mark and Luke, and I know after that I'm going to continue on to the Gospel of John. But if I don't have a plan, then today I might open my Bible and read Hebrews chapter 1, 2, and 3 and go, this is great. And then tomorrow, without following a plan, I go, I don't want to read Hebrews today. Let me jump over and read Ephesians 1, and then Philippians 1, and then Genesis 1 and 2. And you end up jumping around and not getting the bigger picture. One of the benefits of most Bible reading plans is they're going to take you logically through the scriptures so that you're not just getting what does this individual verse mean, but you're getting the bigger pictures out of scripture. And so my usual reading plan is to take a book and to read one or two or three chapters every morning, depending on the day. It's worked for me for a long time. I don't have to have a printout of a Bible reading plan to check boxes and those things. I used to do that, and I still do it on occasion. But it can be as simple as just knowing what you're reading every day and you're going completely through books of the Bible. As I've recommended before, there's a great app called the Read Scripture app. It's created by Francis Chan. It incorporates the Bible Project videos in there that helps you get the major themes and major teachings of the Bible. I love the Read Scripture app. It's on my phone. You can read it usually is about three chapters a day plus one of the Psalms, and you can get through the entire Bible chronologically in a year, I believe. Me and my 10-year-old daughter were actually going through the Read Scripture app together last year before we went home to the U.S., and it just threw our schedule off. And then obviously coronavirus and all of that has kept us off this year, but there are different apps that can give you reading plans and those things that have the bonuses, like I said, the Gospel or the Bible Project videos as well. And so maybe take a look at that. Whatever your plan is, whatever you conclusion you come to, this is what I'm doing, you have to make sure it's attainable. Don't overdo yourself. That's going to lead to a lot of discouragement, and it's, you know, eventually going to lead to you giving up. Your Bible time needs to be a time that you can relax and fellowship with God. It doesn't need to be something that's so stressful where you decide, I'm going to read 10 chapters a day, every day before I go to work and before I get the kids ready for school and those things, you're going to stress out when that becomes not feasible. And so it's not a ton to stress. So find something that you can handle. Step three for keeping a scripture journal, a Bible journal, is going to be scheduling a time. Now, let me say it before you can. You don't have time. You're busy. Who has time to spend all their mornings praying and reading the Bible and then writing it down? This is crazy. First of all, if you haven't already, check out my blog series on dealing with busyness. Maybe it will help you adjust some of those things. I'll put the links in the show notes. The fact is we're all busy, but busyness is not an excuse not to spend time with God. In fact, just the opposite is true. The busier you are, the more time you need to spend with God if you want to maintain spiritual sanity. This is why Martin Luther used to say something like, "Every day I spend an hour in prayer, but on the days where I know I'm going to be so busy, I have to spend at least 2 hours in prayer." What I can't tell you is where in your busy schedule you need to put your Bible reading. In reality, this could mean you need to wake up half an hour earlier every day, or you need to go to bed an hour later each night. It may mean spending your lunch break at work alone in silence with the Lord instead of mingling with coworkers in the break room or going out. The truth is, we all find time to do menial things in life. We all have time to surf the web, tweet to our friends, check our Facebook feed, watch dumb YouTube videos. I mean, you've found time right now to listen to this podcast. If it's something we want to do, we find the time to do it. So back when I was single and I didn't have kids and I worked a second job, my best Bible time was right before I would go to bed. And so, you know, I would wake up every morning and I'd be very task-oriented. I had to do ministry stuff at church, so I was rushing out the door to get to the church, getting all my things done there before I would take a quick lunch and then go to my second job and work until 9 p.m. So the easiest thing for me was to get home from work, watch a little TV or something to wind down, take my mind off of everything from the day, take a hot shower, and then grab my Bible and journal and climb into bed for some relaxed time with the Lord. And I did that for years. I was living with my senior pastor and his family at the time. And so that time away from everybody right before bed let me really get into the Bible and not feel rushed because the only thing I have left to do is sleep. Now that I'm married and I have 3 children, that's impossible. My evenings are more hectic than my days. We're doing stuff as a family. We're getting supper done. As soon as we finish supper, it's getting the little kids washed and getting them to calm down. Living in Uganda, we're FaceTiming with family and friends. Last thing in our evening, where it's mid-morning back in the U.S., we are getting the kids ready for bed, praying together, doing all of those things. And so by the end of that, I'm done. I just want to go to sleep. And so I have to be disciplined now to wake up every morning before my kids do, to make my coffee, and then to find my quiet place with the Lord. And so even this morning on the day I'm recording, I woke up, my kids started stirring as soon as I got up, and I was telling them, shh, no, lay down, go back to sleep, you're okay, you don't have to get up yet. I went, I got my cup of coffee, and I went and sat on my porch with my coffee and my Bible, and I just spent the morning reading a couple of chapters and being with the Lord before everybody woke up. My reading usually takes around 20 minutes, including looking up maybe a few keywords or some study tool. And then I spend another 15 to 20 minutes praying and asking the Holy Spirit to apply the truth of what I'm reading and guide me through the day and doing my morning prayer journaling. And so through all of that, my point is this: you've got to find the time that works for you. The same way you need to find a journal that you're going to use, the same way you're going to find a Bible reading plan that you're going to keep dedicated to, you need to find a time that you're going to put toward this, and you've got to make it a priority to be there. If that's first thing in the morning, if that's lunch break, if that's last thing in the evening, if it's anywhere in between, you've got to set your mind to committing to keeping that time with the Lord in His Word and do it. Step four, and the last step in our logistical steps, is finding a place. Now, again, These things are making it so that you have a system that works for you that's automatic. Let's say you're doing your Bible reading in the morning. So you wake up first thing in the morning, you brush your teeth, you grab your coffee, and then you grab your Bible, your journal, and your reading plan. But if we wander around and start, you know, looking around the house, looking around the office, we get distracted by everything else. And so the last question is, where are you going to do your Bible study that's going to be conducive to staying focused? Now, when I used to be a single guy with no kids, I could shut myself in my room and not have to worry about any other people distracting me. I would have never dreamed of meeting with God at an office desk. Now that I have a wife and three kids, Netflix, and pets, I'm glad I have an office with a desk. It's one place I can always go and shut the door and meet with the Lord privately. At times, my office is a big distraction, though. If we have a lot going on in a particular week and my to-do list is, you know, up on the wall on the whiteboard and my desk is covered with paperwork, then doing it at my desk isn't even that conducive. I told you this morning I was out on my porch. That's where I've been for the last week or so, and I'm loving it. So my point is, you need to find a place that you can be alone with the Lord and free from distraction. It may be a quiet room in your home. It may be at a local coffee shop with your headphones in. No matter where it is, you need to be in a place you can train your mind to know that this is it. This is where I'm going to meet with God. This may change over the course of your life. In different seasons, I've been in my home, I've been in my bedroom, I've been on my couch, I've been in my office, I've been on my porch, I've been on my balcony, I've been at Starbucks. I've done Bible study different ways, different locations at different times in my life, depending on the distractibility of everything else. And now, especially as an international missionary living in Uganda and being in different places a lot of times, my Bible study location may change from week to week. You know, if I'm home, it's easiest for me to go out on my porch or to go to my office, which shares the same compound, to go down to my office and shut myself in. If I'm out, you know, ministering in the refugee camps, staying in a tent, I have to be very strategic in going and finding a place to hide, because if people can find me, I don't have the alone time. So where is it for you? If you've already decided this is my time, you have to tie that time to a place. If it's morning, you're probably going to do it at home. If it's lunch break, you may be doing it in your office. But where are you going to be able to say, this is the place that I meet with God, so that when you walk into that place at that time, journal and Bible in hand, then your mind automatically knows, okay, it's time to meet with God. It's time to meet with the Lord and hear from His Word. Once you have those four things, your journal, your Bible reading plan, your time, and your place, then it's time to get into the practicals of actually writing stuff in your journal, which we'll come back to right after this. Okay, now that we have all of the logistical aspects of our Bible journal ready to go, we have our journal, we have our Bible, we have our reading plan, it's the right time and the right place, and we're there ready to get started journaling. Now we're going to talk about what we're actually putting in the journal. This is step five, write everything down. Now, the things I'm going to share in this step, it's going to differ from person to person. Some things will be universal. Some things everyone's going to use. Some of the things I'm going to share, you're going to think, I don't want this in my Bible journal. That's not how I relate with the Lord. It's not how I pray. It's not how I spend my time. Leave it out. You may have other sections that I don't talk about that as time goes along, you think, I really need to be recording this. I need to put this section in. That's perfect. Even my own Bible journal has shifted over the years. I don't do it exactly today the way I did it 10 years ago or even 2 years ago. Now, some things are going to stay the same, though, and the first two things I think will generally stay the same for everybody. The first thing you need to put at the top of your new page is the date. We're just going to look at this futuristically and say we're starting the Bible journal January 1st, 2021. That's the first thing you're going to put, 1/1/21. And the reason you do this is so that you can go back and you can look at your life events, what's going on, and kind of frame the things God shows you from His Scripture with your life experiences. Coming out of 2020, out of the coronavirus season, we pray by 2021 we're out of this craziness. We may have different perspective on the Word of God than we did 2 years ago before this season. As we graduate high school, graduate college, move out of our parents' house, get married, have kids, start a new job, start a business, different times in our life means our thinking is different and the way we process and learn Scripture is different as well. And so you're going to want the dates so that you have a time frame of when God is showing you what He showed you. I can go back to my earliest journal and know the exact day I started and what God showed me on that day. And then I can look at things going on in my life around that time and start seeing, yeah, that was a fitting message for that season. And so the first thing you put is the date. The second thing you put is the Scripture reference that you're reading for the day. And so you're going to put January 1st, 2021, dash Genesis 1 and 2, just for example. That's going to be your heading at the top of the page, the date and the Scripture. Underneath that heading is where you're actually going to begin journaling. And what I would suggest is after you've done the reading, the first thing you want to do is you want to write out at least a paragraph to summarize what God's showing you or what you're learning. This could be something big. It could be something small. It could be very personal. It could be a new knowledge you gain out of the passage. It could be questions. It could be something that challenges your understanding. It may be a clarification. Maybe you're struggling with something and it's wisdom to show you the way out. It could be many different things. But whatever it is, you need to write it down. So, for example, I'm just going to go with the Genesis 1 and 2 example. This is from my journal from years ago. In Genesis 1:26, so I've got a very specific verse. I'm not summarizing the whole two chapters, just something that stuck out to me. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." It's interesting to me that God speaks of Himself in the plural, which I believe is a reference to the Trinity. God exists in a personal, intimate community. Then again, in Genesis 2:18, God says it's not good that man should be alone. So He created a woman. The first family was also the start of the Christian community. There's something about being created in the image of God who is plural, which requires humans to live together and work together for one another's good as a community. And so just write down a brief summary. What did you learn? What thoughts stuck out? What were the big things? When we talk about the REAP method, read, examine, apply, and pray, this is your examination. What did you learn just by examination? What did God show you? Then you're going to go to the application. This is the A of the REAP method, right? Apply. You're then going to write out another paragraph to yourself exploring the personal application of truth that the Holy Spirit leads you in. If God is the one who's speaking to you from the Word, then how should you respond? What do you need to do today with this new truth? And I like to get very practical. I don't like talking in my journal for me. I don't like talking in hypotheticals. I don't like talking about, yeah, I need to do these things over the next 6 months. I want it to be, what do I need to do today or this week? This is where it gets introspective, and this is where the Holy Spirit begins to lead us as disciples and guide our personal sanctification. Then we're going to come to the P of the REAP method, which is pray. Now, I break this down into a couple of different areas. First of all, I write down my praises. After my time in the Bible, I begin to turn my focus back on the Lord and not only record what my time in the Word, and I try to turn my focus away from just the time in the Word and to really move into a time of prayer. And the way I do that is by looking back over the previous day, looking back over yesterday, or if you do your journaling at the end of the day, over the day you're finishing, and write down all the things that I'm thankful for. What has the Lord done? How has He blessed me? How has He been faithful? If your prayer time's in the morning, look on the day before. Again, if it's in the evening, go over that day. But seek to write down as many things as you can to be thankful for. Praise the Lord. And then praise Him too for what He's taught you, what He's showing you, and how He's guiding you in life. Then me personally, I also write down my struggles. Again, this is kind of where the Bible shifts into the application, but then connects with our real life, because we want to have a record not just of what we learned in the Bible, but also how our life is going and how the scripture is affecting us. And so I began to write my struggles, to be honest with myself and confront any sin or challenges. So again, this is looking over the last 24 hours. But instead of looking at what good things God did, you're looking at how you've messed up, how you've not walked closely with Him, and where you might have given into temptations. Now, just for reference, this isn't always big sins. Like, I'm not always confessing big sins in my journal. But most of the time, this is where I uncover my pride, my selfishness, my anger, or my anxiety, and usually connected with the scripture that God just showed me. Usually, in the application time, He's drawing things out of my heart. The Bible says of itself that it's like a mirror that shows us who we are on the inside. And so I'm looking at the failures in my relationship with others and in my relationship with God. Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals, this is my place to get them out and deal with them in repentance. Because remember, His mercies are new every morning. And so as I shift into prayer time, I go into praises and I go into struggles, and then I'll go into the requests, which is where I list all my personal needs that I need to bring before God for that day. This is where I write out requests for grace for my own life, events or projects or ministry things that I'll be facing over the next few days or weeks that I need God's mercy to pull it off. There may be seasonal things. I'm getting sick, or I'm very stressed, or I'm in a season of depression. And so the requests go in that direction at all. I simply tell Him what I need at that point, because He wants to care for us, right? Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And so make your prayer time practical. Don't leave this general. Now, again, you're going to need to figure out, how does this coincide with your prayer journal if you keep one of those? Because I've already told you, I do two-way journaling. My two-way journaling does not coincide with my Bible journal very well. These are two separate exercises, because my Bible journal, I'm trying to focus on the scripture and what it's teaching me and really pray according to the word. In my two-way journal, I'm listening to God and trying to discern what He's speaking from His mouth through the Holy Spirit. And so you're going to have to reconcile this, and maybe you write down your prayers a little bit different. That's perfectly okay, but we need to be applicational in our prayer time in what we're bringing before the Lord. And then finally, in my prayer section, I'll list prayer requests on behalf of other people. It may be some people who have asked me to pray for them. It may be simply someone that I know they're sick or they're having trouble, or that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. And so I kind of wrap up my prayer journal just by listing the requests that I'm praying for that day, so that later on when you get testimonies from people that, oh, I asked you to pray for me and God did this, then I can make a note of that later with the testimony that I prayed for them on this day, and then on this day it came, you know, it was answered. It came to fruition and the prayer was answered. And so you're going to start with the date and the reference. You're going to go through the examination and write a summary. You're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the application. You're going to write down how it applies to your life, and then go into prayer with your praises, your requests, and your asks for help. Finally, the last thing I want to recommend to you is something that I haven't done in a long time since I went digital. But back when I carried a physical journal with me, it's something I did that I found was very helpful, and that was utilizing my bookmark, my place marker. Technically, that's not a section in your prayer journal or in your Bible journal, but it is just as important, because you need to remember where you are, right? So some journals have a ribbon, but what I used to do is I used to cut out strips of thick paper stock, really, really thin cardboard, into about a bookmark size, and I would write on it the requests and the people that were carried over from day to day. The things that I used to, no matter what day it was, no matter what I was reading, I prayed for these things every day. And so the difference is, when I'm reading a scripture and God brings something to mind, I'm going to pray for that by writing it in my prayer journal. But there are certain things, certain people I pray for, certain assignments for intercession that God has given me that I pray for every day. It doesn't matter. And so I don't need to be rewriting those day after day. What I did is I would write them out on this, you know, this little sheet of cardstock. And then I would wrap up by praying through what was listed on the bookmark, and I just moved it from page to page. And these were things like my family and friends, my spouse, my kids, extended family members, any friends that God lays on your heart for a season. You know, maybe it's your pastor or whatever that for this season God has shown you. You need to be very strategic in praying daily for those things. Intercessory assignments. Me and my wife, when we got married, we actually, I was shifting from the bookmark. We actually kept this on a little chalkboard, decorative chalkboard in our room. But God gave us certain people that we were supposed to pray for ever. These were our pastor. These were certain friends. These were certain ministry friends around the world. And we have an assignment to pray for them regularly. I still have people I am assigned by the Lord to carry them in prayer. And so it's a daily prayer thing. So I don't want to rewrite their names day after day in my prayer journal. And so I used to keep these on a bookmark. I kept church staff and families. And when I was on church staff, I would keep long-term goals and things we were working on as a church. In my work, I would keep my boss, my coworkers, different customers and clients, things like that written on it. People that I was strategically praying for over a season. I had lost people that I was praying to the Lord to save, and so I wrote their names on it. Who are you asking God to save? You can write those on the bookmark if you're praying for them daily. And then, you know, just general events, projects, major things going on in that season. I would rewrite my bookmark probably about every month. For a long time, I did it in pencil because when something would be released, I would erase it off of there, and I could always add other things on there. But I would make a new bookmark just about every month, sometimes every couple of months. But to keep those daily prayer needs so that as soon as I'm done praying over myself and my application from the scripture, then I can jump right into intercession. And if you're also keeping a two-way prayer journal, this is a good transition then to transition from Bible journal to the two-way journaling. So you're reading the scripture, you're writing your application, you're praying, praising, asking God to help you do those, you know, those commitments that you've made in the application process. Then you jump into your prayer list and you're praying for all those things. And from there, you can transition to the two-way journal with the Lord, asking Him, okay, Lord, now that you're showing me all of these things, I just need to hear from you today. What message do you have for me today? And you can jump right into that as well. So once you've spent time in the Word, you've looked at how it applies to you, you've listed all your prayer items, You take time to walk through your list with God. This can take anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour or more, depending on how long you pray. Sincerely, you can follow the steps I've just said in 5 to 10 minutes if God's giving you short sections of scripture every day, or you could spend hours on this. Now, I know this sounds like a big process for writing everything out, and it seems pretty personal. I've not found that this is a burden, okay? I know some people go, man, I just want to read the Bible, I just want to grow, but I can't write everything down, I can't do all this, I can't find the time and the place and keep a structure and all that. It's too burdensome. I haven't found it to be the case. But what I would say is having all these things in place are actually there to help you stay focused on the Word and stay focused on prayer and not get distracted by the things around you. Even though it sounds like a lot of writing, this usually takes up about half a page in a journal for me. Like, again, I'm not writing everything down. I'm not writing major discourses. This is just so that I have a memory. So it's a summary. I'm not putting point for point. You might have pages and pages every day, but I would have about half a page every day when I was handwriting in a physical journal. But the idea is this is a tool that's going to help you draw closer to God and have a record of how far He's brought you. It's great to be able to look back in my journal from years ago and remember all that the Lord has done for me. And so the question is, you know, what do you think? Is something that can work for you? Is it something different than what you've done before? What would you change? What would you do differently? You need to make it work for you because this is simply a tool. It's not another rule you have to follow. It's not a mandatory thing for all Christians, but it's a tool to help you engage with the Lord and have a record of your walk with Him. And so you need to take all of these things that I've offered you today and decide, is this for me and how can I apply it? And so I just want to wrap up today by praying for you. God, I pray once again for all the people listening to my voice, Lord, that they would be drawn into your word. And Lord, as you lead them and guide them in relationship, in Bible study, in their prayer life, in the secret place, God, I pray that you will help them to have a fruitful time there. And Lord, I pray that for those who need to be journaling, God, that their heart would be drawn to this so that they can have a record of what they're learning and how they're growing and what you're speaking over them. Father, I pray that you would give every person listening a desire to be in your word, that you would guide them into the way they're supposed to be reading, the reading plan they're supposed to be following, whether it's books of the Bible, whether it's passages that you assign, whether it's printing out a Through the Bible in a Year program. Lord, I pray that you would give them the time and the space in their busy schedule, in their busy life, Father, to set aside to know this is the time, this is the place that I meet with God. And so they would come in ready and focused and not be pulled to the left or to the right, but God, they would have a one-track mind to get into your word. And Lord, as they do that and as they engage with the process, would you speak? Father, you said your words don't return to you void. They accomplish the purposes you send them out for. Lord, let your word accomplish its purpose in their lives, in my life. Father, we need more of your word. We need it to get into us, Lord, so that we have hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone, Lord. And so I just bless them right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would guide them in this process. And for those that find value, that it would become a major tool in their tool belt. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Christian Life. I hope you've been blessed. I hope it is a tool that you can use and something you will at least make an attempt to use. If it doesn't work for you, fine. But if it does, then may God bless you and may it help grow you into His image. If you're interested in connecting with me, there are many ways you can do that. You can find all of it on my website, anthonyingram.com. I blog every week. I podcast every other week. I am about to launch a new initiative every Friday. I haven't even announced this on the blog. I'll announce it here first. Every Friday, I'm going to start posting some Bible basics to help people get in and understand the Word of God. This is going to take a good long time to do, a couple of years probably to get this done. But I'm going to be giving you some introduction to every book of the Bible. Who wrote it? When did they write it? Why did they write it? This will help you in the examination part of your Bible time. And so you can catch those every Friday on anthonyingram.com starting this week. So hopefully that's a blessing to you. You can find me on social media. The biggest place is obviously Facebook. They're the king of social media. You can find me at Ingram Writer, facebook.com/IngramWriter. I would love to have you there. If you're listening to this, you're encouraged, you're blessed. There is more Christian life and gospel leadership content that I share there almost on a daily basis. And so I would love to have you jump in and like that page on Facebook. Same thing on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Parler. I'm on Parler now. You can find me at Ingram Writer and on Twitter at Ingram_Writer. Someone had taken my username. But you can find me on any of those things. If you would like to support our ministry, you would like to support the podcast, you can find out more about that at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. Excuse me. You can support the podcast there. You can subscribe on all your favorite platforms. And do me a favor, rank me, give me a rating on whatever platform you listen on. Just tell Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whoever you're listening through, tell them that you're enjoying this. Give me a 5-star rating. Helps immensely. And leave me some feedback. I would love to hear from you. And so that is it for this episode. Until we meet again, may God bless you.